Advocates in the local food, the so-called farm-to-table movement, were jolted by a recent op-ed in a national newspaper. Count Lake Effect contributor Kyle Cherrick among them.
I have, as of late, lost all my mirth. Hamlet, the soul-searching 20-something, uttered to his school buddies Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Everybody hits a wall as they grow up. It's a necessary pain. We all must hit it nonetheless if we are to keep growing. What we thought we knew to be true and real and certain about the world often turns out to be idealism. We must hit the wall, and the ground beneath us must become unsteady so that you can get your sea legs in life and go on walking with a new sense of equilibrium. Dan Barber, James Beard-awarded chef, sustainability stalwart, and TED Talk darling, slammed me headlong into the reality wall with his recent May 17th column in the New York Times titled, What Farm to Table Got Wrong. By his third paragraph, I was reeling when he says how the farm-to-table movement has scarcely reworked the economic and political forces that dictate how our food is grown and raised. Big food is getting bigger, not smaller, unquote. Terms like farm-to-table and locavore and even foodie have risen like so many centurion shields marching across the land stolen by Big Ag. Our gold standards, all pun intended, of fresh, seasonal, regional, and organic, glinting across the menus and the minds of the public. Yet, according to Barber, we've lost 100,000 farms in the last 5 years, and 1.1% of farms in the United States account for nearly 45% of farm revenues. The majority of that 45% raise corn and soy, both of which are fetishized and subsidized to an extent that would make the Kardashians also unnecessary and closely aligned with the artificial blush. Corn alone is so subversively integrated into the American diet that it is represented by well over 50 pseudonyms on processed food ingredient lists. Fed Up, the film I saw a few nights after reading Barber's article, delivered a second blow. If you live in America and eat, it is the most important piece of cinema you should see this year. It draws a parallel between the ascent of preventable disease and our biggest food companies with their 600,000 products lining our grocery shelves, 80% of which contain abundant and often unlisted amounts of sugar. When talking about our biggest companies, I call them our because they are. We made them, and we can unmake them meal by meal. Diabetes is the precursor. A generation dying earlier than the previous is the coda. We live in an America where our Secretary of Agriculture demurs on camera when questioned about why tomato sauce has been classified as a vegetable for American children's school lunches. We live in an America where our First Lady has planted the White House garden, which Eleanor Roosevelt was denied, yet simultaneously tells kids to run around more instead of eschewing the sugar and corn-laden metabolic time bombs, which abound, so often labeled fat-free. We live in an America where a fast food chain can and will sell you a dinner of cheap chicken protein paired with a half gallon of soda containing 56 spoonfuls of sugar, all with the promise that they will graciously donate $1 to diabetes research. In the face of all of this, as a foodie and a public one, I felt insignificant and effete. I am looked to as a credible resource for Better Foodways. Fans of the show tell me they make pilgrimages to each location featured on an episode. The farm-to-table trend has grabbed us by the collar and culturally kissed us hard, and we as a community have kissed back. How could nothing have come of all of the CSAs, enlightened chefs, and urban agriculture? Are all these farmers markets and regional dishes just for show? Yes. Definitely. And a fine show we should make of it. As I sloughed off my nausea and came to, clarity came as well. What I do as a foodie with a television show is tell stories about food, which help people elevate their consciousness, and so that, together, we can heal the planet and ourselves along the way. This is only the beginning of the change. The story of our nation's food systems is centuries old, and this one can still be mended. Big tobacco is not unlike big food, and once seemed invincible, ensconced in lawmakers' hearts, by way of campaign contributions and powerful lobbyists, but is now significantly diminished upon national sentiment. Smoke-free? Inconceivable, my parents' generation said. Even doctors smoke. And now we face our next Goliath, big food. There is an app we can use when we shop which scans product barcodes and alerts consumers to the presence of GMO foods. FoodPolicyAction.org rates elected officials on their actual for-the-people legislation regarding what we eat and have access to. Monsanto is now aware of us and we of them. The politics of food is lapping on the edge of the mainstream. Yes, let's make it a fine show. Every episode I film, every victory garden we plant, every tweet I post, every petition you sign. Every time an elected someone feels the heat of their job security based on how he or she votes on food policy. This is the show we should make of it, and it needs all the fervor and pomp of a ticker tape parade. I have as of late lost all my mirth, but wherefore I know not, Hamlet continued. My where is the soil in my plate, the what, my tax dollars and health, and the why is heir apparent.
Lake Effect contributor Kyle Cherik is host of the public television show Wisconsin Foodie.